Introducing Home Care Plus, a new subscription service from Lowe's that helps make life easier by giving members a hand with home maintenance. Let Lowe's tackle the tasks you keep meaning to do, like electric dryer vent cleaning, replacing hard-to-reach light bulbs, and more. Subscribe to Home Care Plus for just $99 a year and consider your to-do list done. Members get more at Lowe's. Available in select zip codes only. Cancel anytime. Non-refundable fee. Product purchase required. Terms and service restrictions apply. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
When I first heard the words, "you have lung cancer," I was in shock.
This week on a special episode of Health Discovered, we're taking a closer look at a common form of lung cancer that accounts for 85% of all cases.
I'm Janet Freeman Daly, and I've been living with non-small cell lung cancer since 2011.
Non-small cell lung cancer, it's a diagnosis that changes everything. And yet, the conversation around it too often stops at the biology and misses what patients are actually living through every single day.
There are some things you used to be able to do that you can't do anymore. It's easy to become depressed when you're dealing with all those losses. So mental health plays a really big role.
So what does it really mean to advocate for yourself when you're living with non-small cell lung cancer? Listen to Health Discovered on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Green.
It is a Q&A Friday today. Your questions in the comment section, so please do leave them. We would love to get your thoughts on, all the cases that we've been digging into this week, and there certainly has been a lot. The Duggars have been a very big point of contention, a big point of conversation. Rex Huerman has been a big conversation. Leave your thoughts in the comments as we work through all of this today. Also, the Bateman, Jason, not Jason Bateman. Wrong Bateman. Sam Bateman. Sam Bateman. Sorry, Jason.
A Samuelite.
Yes, Samuel Bateman and the FLDS. That documentary dropping this week on Netflix. We're going to talk about that too this morning, so be sure to give us your thoughts. First, let's talk about the Duggars. In the week since Joseph Duggar's arrest, something unusual has happened. The private communications from inside the family, some of them have started to go public. You probably have seen some of them. Jail calls, emails between Joseph and Kendra, messages from Anna Duggar, from Jim Bob, from Austin Forsyth. And alongside those, a wave of carefully worded public statements from nearly every Duggar sibling. What's striking isn't just what these people have said. It's the distance between what they said privately and what they put out for the cameras. And you guys have a lot of questions about it. And we have a lot of thoughts, I guess, so to speak, on it. Robin and I want to go through some of those questions today and just discuss what is this. The shit show that is now the Duggars. Robin, let's start with one we have on screen right here. Do you think the Duggars have hired their own attorney to represent Kendra as a method of keeping control over her?
Yeah. I mean, Tony and I and Todd were talking before the show and stinking every day nonstop, really. That's all we do is text back and forth. At some point, we're either going to even get better or get super crazy talking about all these cults we've been focusing on. And this is a organization, IBLP, a cult, if you want to continue to call it, because it is, of control, ultimate control, control of absolutely everything, and control in the narrative. And what it comes, it's really fascinating. So short answer, yes, I think they totally hired the attorney because they want to control the attorney because they need to control Kendra. And it's, I need to, I think it's important to frame the context. So we keep trying to do this every day we're talking about this, because the more I'm reading Amy Duggar's King's, I think is her last name, book now, which is the cousin of the Duggars.
It's Jim Bob's sister's daughter.
Crazy Amy was her name on 19 and Counting. Really, really interesting book, because she's going in deep about the rules of IBLP and the intent of IBLP. And not just that, but the interpretation of it through Jim Bob. Mm-hmm. And it's all about control. Control because they have a fear of chaos. And when you fear chaos, you just don't want to control your immediate self. You want to control your entire environment, including the emotions of those people under that umbrella. And so that's why they're always so positive. They speak in that meek voice. They speak in, they're not allowed to have negative emotions. It's a sin to have a negative emotion. And so it's at super level of control. And so controlling Kendra, that's why Kendra, we hear on these calls, is literally physically falling apart. Because when you suppress your emotions, I mean, basically, if anyone's into Star Trek like that, this is a Vulcan, you know, machine trying to make emotionless human beings, which is completely impossible.
Yeah.
Because when you suppress emotions that much, especially negative emotions, it takes an incredible toll on you. So long answer to yes, I believe they hired that attorney to control Kendra.
I mean, anytime you're having, as an adult, or as a child too, I mean, anytime someone is in control of your housing, your income, your legal representation, your protection, and it's not within it is within her grasp to take control of those things. She's currently not. She's currently letting them do it because it's really the track that she knows. Mm-hmm. You're being controlled. You are under the control of whoever is controlling those things. And it's going to go where it's going to go. Now, she has to really take a moment here. And I just did a piece this morning. It's going to drop Monday here on the feed, or if you're an advanced subscriber on Apple Podcasts or Substack or anything like that, you'll get it probably today. But it was an open letter I wrote to Kendra. And it's really about all of this. Mm-hmm. And it's about trying to identify these levers of control that are being pulled around her, and recognizing that it doesn't have to be other people that pulled them. But when you're brought up in a society where the men do all the pulling of the levers, that's not for the women. Your job is over here. I don't think she even realizes that she has this autonomy, that she has this ability to take control of her life. And it's probably a really scary proposition, because she's also, well, she was trying to raise children. Now those are in the control of the state at this moment in time. But it's the reality is, if you want to have your kids back, if you want to have autonomy to control your life and not keep going down this shit show that is Duggarville, then you got to get out of Duggarville. And that is the reality of it. I said it in a much kinder, gentler, warmer way. But that really is what it comes down to, really, for anybody in any sort of coercive control sort of situation. You have to make the realization and make the call yourself. No one else is going to do it for you. And you may actively have people within your circle working against you to control you. So it makes it even harder to see. What really, I think, is the screaming, almost like lighthouse on the hill that's going on right now, is the fact that her parents, the Caldwells, that they have that GoFundMe that they've now set up for themselves to help with their being displaced out of their home. And we don't know all of the details of exactly how that's going on. And that's another weird element to this story. It appears, if some of the reports online are correct, that it may be being controlled by the Duggars, and they're going to have to find new house. I mean, there's a rift between these two families. And why that is, how that is, if there's a rift because one side was trying to control a narrative of what was going to get into the public, well, that can actually possibly get criminal, depending on exactly what those motivation factors are. But that's all for the law to investigate. Meanwhile, you have a mom in the middle of all this that hasn't been very well educated on how to handle any of these things. And she has nutterers all around her saying, come to Nutterville. We have more nuts for you. You need the nuts to live, don't you? More nuts. Yeah.
Because they frame it, you know, what they do is with they use emotional surveillance is what they do. And they're emotionally surveilling the negative emotions. They're not allowed to have hate, resentment, discontentment. They can't even come close to those words. Yeah. And so part of that surveillance is, and I made sure I wrote, I'm always writing things down on this thing, but control of emotions, because they frame everything, this control of emotions and positive emotions, as love and as caring. Mm-hmm. And so that then gives them the narrative, controlling the narrative. So if you're not being positive, or someone in your life, like your parents, aren't being positive, they don't love you like we love you. And people feel safer when it's not chaos. Mm-hmm. And so if you have someone else taking control to calm your chaos, in other words, fear is the factor for motivation. And when they frame love as control of your emotions, I mean, you see how this just, it's you can see how easy it is to fall prey to this. Mm-hmm. Because when a challenge in your life pops up, instead of diving in and getting excited like I do and we all do, this is going to be a great life rep. It's going to suck, but you know what? I'm going to come out the other side of this with a great life rep and I will do better next time. That's what a healthy person does. That's what healthy relationships do. We lean in to when things get challenging because we remember those things, they become life-forming things, and we actually can form some great relationships and bonds and actually know who to distance ourselves from as well from those events. But they can be scary, especially if it's your first rep. First reps are always horrendously scary. But you just have to, that's when you have a support system around you saying, you can do it, lean into it. We're side by side with you, not out front paving the way and telling you, just stand back. I'm in control. Here's how the umbrella works. Yeah. It's a self-perpetuating chaos zone.
I mean, oftentimes we see this sort of control in romantic relationships where one partner isolates the other and then suddenly they don't have any outside influence or voices. And it's done to control. It's I don't think that person has your best interests. Maybe you should spend some more. You're not spending enough time with me. I'm your partner now. You know, all the bullshit that people throw out there because of whatever their goals are. But what ends up happening is in that sort of a coercive controlling romantic type relationship, you get isolated and then you don't see just how isolated you're getting and the true motivations of why someone is actually isolating you. And this is happening in a familial way with the Duggars and Kendra right now. It's not Joseph. He doesn't have a leg to stand on anymore in terms of isolating her. But the family does. The family has the protection. They got all these homes you can go to and hang out and be one of the sister whatever, you know, I don't want to say sister wives. That's not what they do. But it's, you know, but you have all these people. We love you. We care for you. We're going to protect you legally. We're going to have the money. And it looks like this. All you have to do is just, you know, basically pledge your allegiance to us. And the second you don't, the second you say, you know, I think we should probably look at criminal charges here for Joseph. I think this might need to be looked at a little bit closer because something horrible happened to one of my own family members at the hands of one of your children. And we don't just give them a free pass because their last name is Duggar. And it appears, I can't confirm it, don't know it, just in my opinion, allegedly, .. One of those levers like that might have been pulled, and that might be why Kendra's parents are finding themselves in the situation they're in right now.
So just think about it. Think about the language they use and what, you know, hard conjecture is saying, you know, the hypotheticals that's happened to Kendra's family. Yeah. So their big thing is, you know, you don't stir up the brethren. In other words, we don't talk negative. We don't bring in outsiders. But when you do, that means you fall outside that umbrella and bad. God can rain his wrath down outside that umbrella because the umbrella will get leaks. Things like parents could lose their homes. They could lose their cars. In other words, they are projecting and predicting what might happen if you stir up the brethren by yapping about what's going on and going outside the sphere of influence, that umbrella of influence. And lo and behold, it's the wrath of God coming down because you broke with the brethren. Oh my God. And then Joseph, you're right. He can't control from behind bars, but what's he doing behind bars? lean into family, lean into family. My family's there yep. for you. We're all there for you because it's part of the umbrella. Oh
yeah.
My God, what a system.
They're still all part of the same team, which is like, is. Wow.
Because he's
like,
excited. This nutter's excited because, yeah. because he had a moral, was a moral shortcoming and he was quickly yeah. forgiven for that. Now he can yeah. create a ministry. Oh, good yeah. for you having a ministry because you're a friggin' pedophile.
Yeah, let's start talking about ministries. Exactly. I mean, and Jim Bob emailed Joseph in jail and told him he'd made terrible decisions. And this is a question from a listener. Jim Bob sends that email. You made terrible decisions, but that God has already forgiven him if he asked. This is like the first two sentences of the damn letter. Then he said, Joseph would probably face major consequences for several years. That's the father's first written communication to his son after the charges came out. The question is, what did you hear in that and what's missing from it, Robin?
Accountability, reality. You know, so he's a little more plain speak than his pure IBLP speak in it. But at the same time, though, he remember, their language rules for IBLP and in that household is no negative words. And this is kind of teetering on that. Mm-hmm. And it is all about, remember, their whole thing is restoration. Restoration yeah. is one of their commandments. The way you get restored is you admit quickly and you forgive. If you don't forgive quickly, then you're not, then you are sinning.
Which also seems to be the operative mode of a narcissist. It's very much, that's how narcissism works. It's quick, forgive, forget, and move on. And like, nobody deals with the emotions. Nobody deals with the aftermath or the tornado of shit that just happened. It's forget, forgive, move on, and pretend like it didn't happen. And families do that for years, and then they get broken, and people are looking back with trauma going, what the hell is happening? Why am I having these panic attacks? Why am I feeling this way? Because nobody ever dealt with their actual emotions because they somehow conflated God's word into telling them to shut the F up and don't deal with it.
It's really interesting, you know, to the point of the question also, what did I see in it? What did I hear in it? I typically am seeing with Jim Bob, and I think you are too, Tony, I don't want to put words in your mouth, you know, this pull from two worlds. He is pretty grounded in a lot of reality in a lot of times because he does do a lot of business deals. I mean, working with TLC, working with contracts, working with lawyers. He has real world things going on, which is pulling at his IBLP mantras that no one ever questioned was created by many, many people accusing the IBLP creator as being a child molester. Mm-hmm. You know, so they're not even looking at the origin story about what created the system which are working around. Because remember, people create systems to serve themselves. And that's exactly what happened here with the IBLP. And so you're seeing, I see a pull of more pragmatic, rational words, kind of, but trying to stay within the framework of the IBLP when talking to Joseph.
Well, and it's interesting because, you know, Gothard, he's never been, and we should say this, he's never been—
As I said, accused.
He's been accused. He's never been charged to fit like statute of limit. They know their statute of limitations very well in this group.
No,
and they know how to work the system. But he maintains his innocence. 90 something. You know, his ticket's about to be punched soon enough. But that's the thing. Without the charges, they I don't think that Jim Bob is necessarily operating, this is my opinion, you know, operating on the same viewpoint that the rest of us have of Gothard or anybody with logic or any way of seeing things outside of that that veil, that filter of that this is, you know, end all be all, this is the best damn thing, you know, since Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
I think he's really focused on the system and not the person that created the system. You know, because you never really hear him referring to him. And I know that IBLP has distanced himself from Gothard. If you go to the website, I think he's only mentioned like one place.
But you can you can still do all the books. And like all of his teachings are there. They just pretend he's not the one who made them.
Exactly. And so I think that's what's really going on here is like, again, Jim Bob, you know, reading Amy's book about how Jim Bob grew up, you can see his origin story. You know, the important thing for this kind of goes back to what you and I do all the time is we look for those life arcs, those origin stories that brought someone to where they are today. And Jim Bob's origin story became a perfect storm for when he was introduced to IBLP. It became the solution he was seeking his entire life. He came up in a very chaotic, horrendous environment growing up where he tried to stay to himself and wanted to, you know, because when you live in fear, all you want to do is calm the chaos and create safety. And when he got introduced to IBLP, that's exactly what it provided him. And so it was a system of control so he can actually feel safe. And he felt, again, I don't want to put words in his mouth, that he could then propagate that to his children. Because again, I'm going to go glass half full on this as we do, because this is not like FLDS, you know, where this is set up with you know, pluralism, you know, where you have multiple wives, polygamy and all that. This is all about him, I think, wanting his children to have a better upbringing than he did. It just went to such a massive extreme where he actually created more harm than he was exposed to just because of this system allowed child molester pedophiles inside his own family.
Well, it was an overcorrection.
Overcorrection.
And I'm not trying to excuse, you know, his parenting or anything. And he's never been charged with anything. I'm not saying Jim Bob is anything criminal. I'm saying he's been misguided, in my opinion. In a lot of ways. I mean, if you grew up in that environment where, I mean, from all accounts that we've heard, his father was abusive and horrible and shitty and just not a good human being by any stretch of the imagination, that Jim Bob had to get in between the allegations are true in some of the books, that he had to get in between his father and his sister and others too, because he was just an abusive, horrible human. And that then sometimes leads people in adulthood to then overcorrect, go so far the other way to protect themselves and what they're viewing as protecting the ones that they love from ever entering a world like that or having to experience that sort of pain. But sometimes when people try to control that, try to prevent that, the overcorrection gets so involved, and then you take away the autonomy of the people that you're trying to prevent from being hurt. And in doing so, you end up hurting them even more.
Yeah.
And I don't think Jim Bob went into life or having 19 kids thinking, let's, you know, bake a brood of predators over here. I don't think anybody says that, but it also, when you overcorrect so much, you also have no levers to pull on how to deal with anything when the bad happens, other than praying it away and dealing with the horrors of the world. And I have no idea how well Jim Bob ever dealt with the trauma of his father, other than literally giving it all to God and then hoping for the best and then reproducing like a jackrabbit. I don't know if that was his therapy, his way of dealing with it, and, you know, trying to put goodness into the world that wasn't his father. I don't know. This is just my conjecture. But there was something there that was very missing in terms of a skill set in how for him to process the hiccups in the road that life would give him, and for how to guide his children to deal with the hiccups in the road that life gives them, because it's just been an utter shit show since child one. And rather than correct, it's dig in more. And that's the sad part about the whole thing. You have all these damaged people now.
You hit a really key word there, correct. You know, one of the greatest things that can, matter of fact, one of the authors I love to read, Noah Harari, he wrote the book Sapiens, Homo Deus, and Nexus. Nexus talks about us as human beings communicating. And one of the ways that we evolve really, really well in healthy organizations, groups, and tribes is when we have individual self-correcting documents. It's a high level of self-awareness that can do that. And what we have here is non-self-correcting, because it's fascinating and tragic at the same time that Jim Bob, his system is that he, as the father figure at the top of that umbrella, is infallible. Mm-hmm. Non-self-correcting. His doctrine is rule of law in that house to everyone under it, because he's that protective umbrella. If you fall outside of it, chaos and fear. But now also, the doctrine by which he is living, he thinks is infallible, because it's non-self-correcting. In other words, this doctrine by which he's living created the monsters inside his own family. Yet he refuses to say or interrogate or question that doctrine. Say, hey, we have a, because the one of the striking things to me is that each of the daughters' books I've read so far, and matter of fact, a lot of these cult members, they still maintain their religiosity. They yeah. still are Christians. They believe in all of it except the control aspect of it. So they self-corrected from what the horrendous part of this control doctrine is. He hasn't. And so his yeah. lack of ability to self-correct, to be self-aware, to say, listen, there's a lot of good things that I think did benefit my family from this, but there's monsters I created at the same time, yet he still refuses to correct because he thinks that doctrine of IBLP is infallible.
It's well, I almost think it might, I mean, again, pure speculation here, but I mean, I wonder if it's almost kind of like the scarcity, like our grandparents who went through the Great Depression, where they live a different way. They have a different way of handling things in a different way. You know, for those of us who had grandparents that went through that time, when you're a kid, it's like, why do they have these things like this? Why do they do certain things that way? Oh, they lived through the Depression. Oh, you know, so it was a trauma. You know, so they react to certain things and they handle certain things and they dig into certain things a certain way because of that trauma, and they hold on to certain things to such an extreme, even when reality tells you this is not healthy, they do it because they know another way that's even scarier than that. And it's better to hold on tight and go along for the ride than even attempt to lose your grip. I mean, and that's trauma speaking. That's a trauma response that has not been worked through. And if you don't believe in therapy and your religion tells you that therapy is witchcraft and all that shit, then you're never going to deal with it.
Yep.
And then you're never going to process it effectively or healthily. And you're going to dig yourself in and entrench yourself in really toxic ways of thinking that you think are healthy, that you ultimately think are good for your family. But at the end of the day, you're infecting your family with just as much trauma in just a different way.
Yeah.
And that's what happens.
But they call it love. They call it caring.
Yeah.
You know,
and I believe he believes that. I don't think that Jim, Bob, and Michelle are like truly, like technically evil human beings that are out there like, let's, you know. But I think the levers that they're pulling, they think are righteous. And that's the part where something needs to get in between that, where that definition of I'm doing the righteous thing, I'm doing the right thing needs to be redefined. And there needs to be some humility that goes, you know what? Maybe I have been wrong. Maybe I have been led astray down this wrong path. This is a perfect window, by the way, for a family that has had their name drug through the mud and will go down in the flaming shit pile of history. If it just kind of stays status quo, this is a perfect opportunity. Should they want to make that moment happen and say, we were wrong. You know what? We're going to start something different and new. And you can have God in it. This is a perfect opening to start a new cult, or maybe an open, not so culty thing that does give a positive message, but also encourages and allows room for reflection for other families who've also gone down that road and say, here's a helping hand. Yeah. You have been down a bad road too. So have we. We all had good intent here naturally, but let's just, you know, we're sinful people, as the Bible says. Let's correct this. Let's do better. Here's the window. Will they take it?
I know.
Probably not.
Can you imagine the positive impact he would have if him and Michelle self-corrected, owned it?
Yeah.
Updated the IBLP doctrine to accommodate, you know, these lessons learned of horrendousness.
IBLP and start.
Just think about how stupid this is. I mean, he has doubled down on stupid because for someone that fears chaos so much and creates and wants order so much, we are seeing the most chaotic family and chaotic situation on earth.
Yeah.
So everything he wanted to avoid more than everything in life because of how he grew up, he's created it five times over because of what he's doing, because it's non-self-correcting behaviors and doctrine. It's just, it's absolutely crazy. I was thinking about this earlier today, you know, prepping for the show. My life is so stinking boring and I love it because you can see chaos and chaotic people a mile away. Mm-hmm. I see red flags so far in the distance, it's like a glimmer on the horizon. I don't even go, I turn the ship before I even go down that path.
Yep.
And so because I don't like chaos as well. No one does. And so how you avoid chaos? You just got to avoid chaotic people. And yet he created this maelstrom of nutters.
Well, I would also say, and I don't know this, but chaotic people tend to attract chaotic people. And chaotic people sometimes don't know they are chaotic themselves because they don't know anything else.
Because it gives them that dopamine hit.
Yeah.
You know, when, if you got your dopamine hits from the chaos in your life earlier in life, or that stress behavior, whatever it was that became your comfort thing that you got used to and that gave you a sense of satisfaction and being and safety, that follows you forever because you continue to pursue it and you attract those people.
Well, I mean, look at these people willingly chose to create an ultimately extremely chaotic life and then televise it. I mean, they chose to have 19 kids. I don't care how much love and goodwill you have out of that. That's chaos. That is utter freaking chaos.
But they showed it as complete order.
Yeah, because the other kids are being parents, you know, and that's, I mean,
they had a system. Yeah. They have the color codes. They have all system.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. So Amy does such a great job describing. I never watched a show before. I can't get it now because it's off and it costs money and I don't spend money on stupid shows. but, you know, she describes walking into that house and she loved going to that house. She's an only child. She used to love going there because she loved all the kids. They're playing games around tables and everything was so structured and ordered. Sure. It gave her a sense of chaos amongst the calm, you know, but it was strange to her, but because that was a surface that she was seeing at that age, but it was later on where the cracks started coming in. But man, they were so all in on, and how was it created? It all started with that blanket training.
Yeah.
Having these kids fear having an emotion, having a natural human emotion, a human reaction, it was beaten out of them at a young age. And they were told negative emotions, negative thoughts, negative words, anything that's not positive and sweet is a sin.
And then you have all these unregulated adults now that are doing horrible things. And they're like, why is this happening? I wonder. Gee, I wonder.
And they were totally free range, too. She said it's amazing that none of them died by accident.
Yeah.
I mean, they were wandering free and long because they started that buddy system where the parents weren't watching anyone. The parents were, you know, stocking up and doing 70 loads of laundry.
They had a television show to keep up with. Nobody could afford to die, you know.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, if the cameras weren't there, I wonder what would have happened, quite honestly. I mean, it would have been one of the other hundreds of IBLP families.
What they did was
that dot the country.
You remember, I used to love Brady Bunch. So this literally became Brady Bunch 19, but it was a real family.
Yeah,
I mean, it's why Brady Bunch was such a popular show. This is a popular show because people like to see, wow, it chaos. Can be easy. And we're just waiting for the car wreck.
It is. I mean, I think there's certainly an element to it, without a doubt. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack. We'll do one more section here on the Duggars, and then we're going to talk about
FLDS.
Not the IBLP, the FLDS. Yes, I got to
get my
abbreviations,
man.
Correct.
Dude, I got to keep them all written down next to me, too.
I know.
Because believe me, you know, I love our audience, but I get correct. You know, anytime I do a misstatement, I get friends and audience members.
Oh, yeah.
Make sure I'm right on point.
It's like, we're human.
Trying to keep a lot of cases straight in my head, man.
It's hard. No, it is. It's 100% hard. We spent a lot of time on this show talking about what happened inside the Duggar family. Rob and I want to talk about something different here. The people and the institutions on the outside who built the stage. The family performed on the network that put them on television, the publishers who gave them book deals, the churches and conferences that invited them to speak as parenting experts, the political campaigns that put Jim Bob in front of voters, which he failed at all of them, by the way. None of those people are facing charges, and they wouldn't, and they shouldn't. That's not how you charge people by simply, well, you one time did something with this guy, or no. But at the end of the day, it's a system. It's a system that we as human beings are not the greatest at identifying of, is this someone we really want to put in front of a large group of people and entertain them by? Will they take this strictly as entertainment, or will they take this as some sort of a life lesson? We've seen it in Ruby Frankie. We see it with the Duggars. We've seen it in other cases where people in the spotlight go out, do their thing in the spotlight, A lot of people follow, and then it turns out to be an abomination. Surprise, surprise.
Look good until it turns into an abomination. Yeah. Such a
well, half the audience is like screaming, what are you doing? And there's like, this is just so, aren't they just lovely?
Aren't they lovely?
Yeah, TLC canceled the show after Josh's scandals, but they kept the franchise going with Counting On for years. Same family, same house, same cameras. They made that choice knowing what had already come out. The Duggars made the same choice to sign with TLC knowing what Josh had already done with his sisters and didn't disclose that. Now, a second brother obviously facing charges. At what point does a network bear some responsibility for what they amplified, and does anyone ever actually hold them to it? That's a question we got from Lisa on Facebook. It's not an active television show anymore. It hasn't been for years. They put this family in front of people. People watched it. It was a commodity. Does TLC bear any responsibility in the bigger picture of this for feeding this to the general public for all of these years? Did they enable this? Is there accountability? Is there anything they should, did they do anything wrong, I guess?
We're facing this in everything we are doing. I mean, aren't all the social media platforms that went before Congress, they're being sued for accountability for what they're exposing children to? Same thing here. You know, it's they hide under the guise of just, hey, we're just providing entertainment. And, you know, they need to caption that more. Even anytime I put a book out or anytime you do anything, you always have to remember, this is for entertainment purposes only.
And people like train wrecks. People are entertained endlessly by train wrecks of humans.
This was pure entertainment. So they just hide under the guise of entertainment, and they're going to keep putting it out as long as they keep getting the numbers. As soon as the numbers are gone, you're gone. Accountability for it? Nah, I don't think they'll ever be held accountable for it. Hell, they can't even hold a social media company accountable for anything, really.
Well, they battle it
in the courts.
I mean, at the end of the day, is it the social media companies? Is it the TV networks that really need to be accountable? Or, I mean, it's like anything. You got a bad leader of a country or something, get rid of them. The country's corrupt. Guess what? You get another bad leader after that, too.
A string of them lined up.
It's like they just keep coming, and to expect any different is really kind of crazy. It doesn't make any sort of sense to expect television to not put out product that people are going to watch and get into, and that they should be more responsible with it, I think is also kind of crazy. It's missing the point. If we want to fix the problem, it's societal. It's the fact that so many people wanted to watch this, and if it was truly wholesome and wonderful, great, but it wasn't. And nobody wanted to take the time to dig a little bit deeper into the IBLP and Jim Bob and the story and everything and go, these are kind of icky folks. Like, this is not exactly the Christian life, I think, that a lot of people were living, if you will, They looked at the Duggars as almost an extension of it, but it wasn't. They were far more extreme. But people never wanted to go down that road and identify that as anything deeper than that, just as anyone does the second the word Jesus or God comes into a conversation. If you question it, if you even bring up that maybe someone is bastardizing this and weaponizing religion and using it for the wrong purpose, we don't want to speak of that. It's just like, don't touch it, don't talk about it. And that's how these people get away with these sort of things forever, because nobody wants to point a finger, and nobody wants to be the one going, you must hate God. Like, no, I'm just pointing out that this person is bastardizing it and using it as a weapon, not as something for good. And I'm not necessarily saying that that is what Jim Bob and Michelle were doing, but the IBLP certainly was.
Yeah, it's interesting too.
In my opinion.
Yeah, I bet this also. I mean, so here, let's do a thought experiment for a second. If you actually remove their the IBLP aspect of what they did with 19 and Counting, and took the religion part out of it, it would still be the show it was, pretty much. So I don't think it came down. I mean, just think about this. This is what we as a species consume. I mean, a little over 2,000 years ago, we're watching people kill each other in the Roman Colosseum and thinking that was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
So
we're not good at critically thinking.
No, we like to be, human beings like to be entertained. And what these media companies do, remember, all comes down to the great mighty dollar. If it sells ad space, they're going to do it. You know, I mean, just I did, and for those tuning in, I did a fun experiment with Todd and Tony the other day where I actually, so I read a lot of history. I was reading Henry VIII, you know, we're talking late 1400s, early 1500s of all the chaos that was going on in the world at the time. And I actually had my AI create news headlines, both if it was CNN at the time and Fox News at the time, creating news headlines of what's going on from different aspects. And you know what? It's horrendous. But you know what? It would sell ad space. It would sell newspapers. It would sell everything. So that's all TLC was doing. They're just one more entertainment faction in the world selling things to make the great mighty buck so that so people can profit, move on, whatever, sell merch.
Yeah. Well, people, I think, are so ready to just be spoon-fed something. And if it sounds nice and you put some keywords in there, and a lot of times it's Jesus or God, and then people are like, oh, I'll take some of that. Like, yeah, figure out what it's made out of first, because they're not all made the same.
You got to look at the full ingredient list, right?
You do. I mean, it's due diligence. People don't do their due diligence.
Curiosity.
If everybody had done a little research and took 2 seconds to look up IBLP and go, yeah, this really is nothing like my version of Christianity or whatever they practice that's being fed to you on television, and had a backbone and said, I'm not going to participate in watching this. But nobody does that. They just go for whatever is there. I mean, at the end of the day, it's societal. Society picks what they want to make popular. The television networks do not. They will go with what you're going to consume. And that's how ratings work. That's how they choose what to feed you. And we're in a society now where television doesn't necessarily have all that much influence. It's based on what you're going to on clicks, on YouTube, on wherever. So if people are watching more, then you will be fed more of that. It's not the people who are creating it, it's the problem. It's the consumers who are demanding more and more and more of it. Start recognizing what you're consuming and start saying stop when you realize it's dangerous, and maybe take 2 seconds to determine if it's dangerous or not. Not just write everything off because it's A-okay, because the word Christ is there. You know,
it's interesting how they did this too, because remember how this whole thing 19 accounting started was, it was one documentary special they did after Jim Bob ran for Congress or ran for state Senate first. They did an article on him. That article got picked up, and some, this happens all the time. I mean, people, not all to everyone, but I mean, we're in the media world a bit. So you kind of see, and they did it, you know, TLC contacted him to do a one episode special on their family. And you know what happens when they did a one episode special? It got viewers. Viewers meant ad space. Ad space means money. So they did another special. And I think they did like 3 or 4 or 5 specials before they actually gave them a series. And what happens is that both sides get addicted to the notoriety.
Yeah.
And they rationalize it. I don't think TLC was rationalizing it. TLC was like, great, this is a moneymaker. Let's run with it. Jim Bob saying, we have a ministry. And we'll craft everything around because this gives us the opportunity to propagate the message of God and the IBLP and all these things and all these great family values that we have. Meanwhile, no, he's chasing a great mighty buck, man.
Yeah, he's chasing the buck. And I think the viewers are chasing some sort of rationalization for their own shitty upbringings. And they look at it.
Are you judging me, Tony? No. I love these shows.
Exactly. Then I am. But I think it's true. I mean, I think that that's part of the element that draws people into people like Ruby Frankie and the Duggars is you were brought up shitty. I'm not saying you, Rob. I'm saying people. People get brought up shitty. People get brought up with parents that don't have the greatest tools, don't have the greatest minds, and they're abused, and there's trauma, and all of us have elements of that to
all
a certain
of us do.
Extent.
That's why we're entertained by it.
Without a doubt. But then some continue to seek it out, and then some never look back and go, maybe that I could do better. Maybe that wasn't the best way. But if they can get confirmation bias that, oh, see, what mom did or dad did to me wasn't that wrong because I'm seeing it on television. They're striking kids with wooden spoons while they're babies on mats. It's not that bad. If they're doing it on TV, it can't be that bad. Ruby Frankie's locking kids in over here. Ruby Frankie's not giving the kid a bed. He deserves that. And then the same sort of shit that someone had happen to them with their own parents doesn't look all that bad. Oh, see? Well, I guess maybe mom wasn't that bad. It was just tough love. No, it was abuse. Any way you fold it, any way you present it, it is what it is. Just because you're telling yourself this and you're watching it and you're making you feel better in that moment doesn't make it feel better for the current person who's suffering. They're going to have the same issues 30 years down the road trying to figure out, what the fuck did mom and dad just do to me?
Yeah, and that's what happens in those moments, is like, so you have a large swath of people watching it for the same reason, because a lot of people grew up with challenging situations, some trauma, yeah, some insecurities, all the things that we face. But what happens is that at a certain point, or at least at the, even at the very beginning, you have the people that are well-adjusted and say, well, they're a bunch of nutters. It's entertaining, but that ain't me. Yeah. And then you have the others that aren't quite as well-adjusted and are like, I'm all in. Sign me up. And that's why it sucks them in.
Yeah, it gives permission in a way to be a bad parent, and to follow down paths that may be easier. I guess it's easier to strike a kid with a spoon than to teach them. There's it's like shortcuts, if you will, but shortcuts that don't ultimately bring fruitful human beings, right, bear fruitful human beings at the end of the day. It just it instills fear. It doesn't instill autonomy or good decision making, and then you end up with the Duggars.
Yeah,
and we've seen this. They're fully baked. They're out of the oven. This is what it created. Are you proud? I mean, my God. Anyway, there's some thoughts. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. Let's go to another commentary here. Another.
And someone commented on my laugh. I apologize. Sometimes these nutters make me laugh too hard. I'm sorry.
It's all you can do. It's because it is. It's just. It's so absurd.
It is absurd.
Let's talk about this. A father in the new Netflix documentary, Trust Me, The False
this
Prophet.
This is no laughing matter, by the way.
Oh, my God. The False Prophet gave his 9-year-old daughter to a man named Samuel Bateman, a self-proclaimed prophet of an FLDS polygamist sect who had more than 20 wives, at least 10 of them children. It's on Netflix right now. It just came out this week. When investigators knocked on the door, that father looked them in the eye and said Bateman was just a family friend, his own child, his own lie. You watch the doc and you see the sealed trailer full of trailer full of girls, arrests, the courtroom. But what won't leave you alone in this after you watch it is the family footage. The way these women smiled while they were being destroyed, the way nobody flinched. What does a man have to do to your mind before you'll sacrifice your own kid to believe you're saving her? That's the magic, very dark magic, if you will, of the FLDS and Samuel Bateman. It's definitely worth watching when you get a chance. We're going to be talking about it on some upcoming episodes here. I got a letter or a comment here. It says, I watched a Netflix doc on Samuel Bateman, the FLDS cult leader who ended up with over 20 wives, kids as young as 9. And the thing that gets me is 3 years before all of this, he was broke and homeless. And that's where the documentary starts, too. He's broke and he's homeless. No money, no followers, nothing. What is someone like Robin seeing in a guy like that that the rest of us are missing? Basically, how does a guy go from literally Loserville, having nothing to do with Warren Jeffs? It's not like he was like Warren Jeffs' right-hand man or something. Warren Jeffs goes off to prison. They're looking for a leader. This guy's a loser living in his van. And suddenly, he's got umpteen wives. I mean, how does one do this behaviorally?
There's a leadership void. I mean, when they set it up, you can really kind of see this take place when Warren Jeffs gets placed in prison. Warren Jeffs in FLDS was the only person that could approve people having children. So FLDS did not go away with Warren Jeffs in prison. He had his tribe so brainwashed as him as a prophet, because what they did was, again, they took a section of religious belief system of Mormonism and made it fundamentalist. Mm-hmm. And that's what the whole thing's based on. And so they took it as polygamy, Warren Jeffs, and he was a prophet of God, and his word was as if it was coming from God. And so as he's behind bars, he became less and less connected with the community. So they were completely leaderless. It's like a concave, you know, like if you think of like that umbrella, the top umbrella that we learned in IBLP is completely gone. So they were leaderless, but still functioning, minorly functioning, but they were dying off. And so here's this complete moron, loser in life, kind of like I just, you know, the related thing we've covered in the past made me think of Chad Vallow, actually. Because, you know, Daybell, you know, here's a guy that couldn't do anything in life. He's failed at everything. So let's marry into Lori Daybell and kill people off for their life insurance policies, including our own kids. So this guy, he saw a leadership vacancy at the top. He swoops in and he starts engaging and calling himself the prophet. And the way he did it is very, it's such a simple thing he did. Mm-hmm. But we're dealing with people that are brainwashed. They have simple, their minds are very simple, unfortunately.
Yeah.
He said that Warren Jeffs is dead. He's communicating with me from beyond the grave, and he's named me his prophet. Honor me. That's it. We're all in. And now he counseled and helped some people that were struggling, some of the guys, and he got one of these guys on board that's actually a decent businessman, which had daughters and a family. And this guy proclaimed himself a prophet, said Warren Jeffs anointed him, and I am your new guy. Give me all your wives and daughters.
What?
It was that simple.
And I think that's the madness of all this. It is that simple. It would not be hard to start a cult. I say this every time we get into this.
Because
it's like, that's it? Like, that's the recipe? Yeah. Go to a group of disenfranchised people that are willing to believe almost anything, are very simple in their way of thinking because it's all they know from birth. Tell them anything. They will believe you. Ta-da. I mean, this whole community, it's really, it's like something Creek where they all live in Utah.
Crick.
Yeah,
Crick.
The Crick.
Crick.
And it's Crick, Utah. I mean, my God, I mean, what a vulnerable group of human beings. I mean, it's like it could have gone any way. It could have gone to Bateman or, you know, if Amway or Mary Kay came into town.
Yeah.
My God, this could have turned into the multi-level marketing capital of the world.
And I think it's important to, because I've read this with other cults as well. It's not like simple-minded people are the only people susceptible to this. A lot of people are very intelligent people. I mean, look at IBLP. I don't think there's a lot of, it's not, it can
some
suck
are just
in
easier targets than others.
It can suck in a lot of people in a lot of different ways. And because they're all, I don't want to ever victim blame people that fall into a cult because there's all different versions of it because there's a lot of things in life that are really cultish. But this one doing harm was huge. Mm-hmm. And they had that vacancy at the top. If this is all you know in a system and you have a belief system, which is founded upon Mormonism, which is a larger, you know, structure, and this is just a fundamental part of it, that's how you're living. It's how you grew up. It's all you know. And so when someone comes in and says, I'm the new anointed prophet, it wasn't all that difficult. It really wasn't.
Are some brains just wired better to operate in that sort of an environment? I mean, there's nations that are basically like cults in certain ways on very big levels where there's this strong man at top and everybody believes it. You got, you know, certainly some free thinking folks that are like, yeah, that's bullshit. But you have many that suck up the Kool-Aid and eat it and drink it and they love it. And it provides their sense of security. They don't have to think. You know, I mean, that's the lovely thing about the cult mentality is the thinking's done for you. You just have to show up, basically. I mean, are there just certain brains where that's how it works? That's the track that they're going to go on any time that if you can choose your path, they're going to pick the cult path because that's how the ridges in their brain line up. That's the path that works better for them. And there's really, no matter how many facts, no matter how many things are exposed, no matter how many people fall, they're still going to go down that path because you still see it. There's still followers of Bateman out there.
Yeah. I think, again, I'm going to take a guess at this just on human nature in general and our biology and genetics because I haven't actually dove on that question yet.
Yeah.
But I'm going to, in general, I'm going to call both nature and nurture. I think some people are genetically probably more predisposed to being susceptible to suggestion. That's how a hypnotist works. I mean, it's all about suggestion. You know, it's getting the brain to relax, it's getting your defenses down, and then being open to suggestion that can be explained. That can be explained emotionally to people, because human beings, most human beings, don't act and think logically and pragmatically or respond to really objective thinking. We're much more emotional thinking. And so when you have someone who knows how to wield emotional levers against you, they tend to be more susceptible. Someone that questions things, that tends to interrogate information more, and it tends to be more curious, they're less susceptible for it. It doesn't mean that they're inoculated against it necessarily, unless you do things like we do and our entire audience does when we study these things every week. It's hard pressed to imagine any one of us is really susceptible at this point. I'm not saying 100%, because you never know, but you tend to inoculate yourself more when you study it, interrogate it, question it, think about it. But yeah, I think it's both nature and nurture, depending on how you grew up, what you grew up, what your triggers are for feeling safe, what your needs, wants, dreams, and desires are to feel safe, combined with genetically predisposition for some people being more susceptible to suggestion.
Here's another one. It says the doc shows Bateman driving around Short Creek with all his wives sitting on the flatbed trailer in matching dresses, singing in broad daylight. The whole town could see. Nobody called anybody. Nobody does anything. What would it actually take for you to be the person who picks up the phone? Tanya said that on Substack. That's an interesting thought. I mean, are groups like this, have we been too damn tolerant of people's choices of religion in this country for too long? I mean, I know it's part of what we're founded on is freedom of religion, but freedom of religion is one thing. It's not freedom to abuse other people in the name of religion. And I feel like for far too long, we've lived in a world where, well, yes, it's freedom of religion, but what's going on behind that? Is it just religion that we're teaching here, or is it control? And granted, all religion is kind of that to a certain extent. But are we not calling out the bullshit when we see the bullshit? I mean, there certainly has been groups that have, and people do, but at the same point, that also further enmeshes them into their own groups, because then they're being persecuted. It's the outside world that's saying we're bad, and they're the enemy. They're the bad people that are saying we're bad, so they get even stronger and tighter. Or is this just this old as humanity? We're always going to have folks who like cults and are drawn to cults and create cults. And that's, we're just going to have to deal with it. But I guess accepting it as being part of our culture and part of our society, putting it on TV, not shaming it where shaming should be done. There's a reason at times in life to shame people for bad behavior. And we're very afraid to do that these days. Should we have more shaming of this sort of behavior? I mean, seriously, should there be more of acceptance to shame shit? Because not everything is acceptable. There is bad behavior that people should be ashamed of. It shouldn't be broadcast on fucking TV.
I think it really comes down to interrogating what it is you're witnessing and what it is you're part of. If you look at the research on it, out of all the cults out there, and cult, there's actually a definition of cults, and they're basically everything we see. There's also an intent to do harm, and there's always a sexual aspect to it, a sexual manipulation of some sort, or sexual abuse. That's what differentiates that from many other things that are also control issues. As a species, what bound us together beyond the simple primate is our ability to tell stories, gossip, and share, and have a collective story that we believe in. A lot of them come through fear, because fear brings control. A lot of religions have some sort of aspect of that, but also religion as a basis for cults is only 51%. The 49% is political type cults as well. So it's just, I think religion tends to be used more than other modes of cult activities, because it is protected in the mentality of people because of religious freedom. So those that wish to abuse, take control of, and manipulate people can hide under the guise, even though it has nothing to do with religion in their mind. They're using the framework that's already established. They're using a protection of the fact that it's religion, so you can't judge it, and they're going to use it, and they're going to handpick elements that they want out of documents like the Bible or documents out of political doctrine as well. It doesn't matter. All these grand manipulators out there are using some form of something that's already established with think about it. There's pre-existing believers in all these things because the species has been around. We've been around collecting information to be able to write it down and share it for a very long time. So all you got to do is capitalize on what's already in place, and then you love bomb people, you validate people, and you groom them into a belief system, and then you just shift it slowly along the way into this, this, and this, and now you have your own belief system, your own cult. You're the leader. You're the elected president, or you're the elected prophet, or chosen prophet, self-proclaimed. It doesn't matter. It's all the same thing. So your religion just gets tend to use more because they tend to have societal protections because of religious freedom.
Yeah, and it's amazing with Warren Jeffs and with Bateman, just how powerful the power of his suggestion was to these people, because he didn't have to do anything magic. He didn't have to like, ooh, I'm going to make water into wine, or, you know, things, you know, that like prove that you're the prophet, prove that you are some sort of magical thing from the other side, or that you have these powers. It's just, I feel I should be sleeping with your kids. It's like, what? And they're like, oh, okay. I mean, it's a little more complex than that, but they didn't need confirmation to believe. And that I think is what I think is most shocking to a lot of people about this.
You know, it was really striking watching that Netflix series, Trust Me, was what Bateman was doing, and they gave some examples. Remember, they use emotion, because remember, we think and make decisions emotionally more than anything else as a species, especially people that are more susceptible than others sometimes. And what he was doing was, as he was abusing girls, what he was then saying was, and how did you feel? And you could see they were saying, and you could see the reactions of they were gross, they were repulsed. But now what he did, he said, that was the spirit of God. I'm paraphrasing, that was the spirit of God coming to you. That was actually, he redefined for them what that emotion was.
Yeah.
And he said, that's a good emotion. That's what they do. They take that natural emotion response you have, they grab it, and they manipulate it. And that's what horrendous monsters like him do. They know the emotional response, that all these girls they weren't all in. They had the natural emotional response they should have had, and they did have a repulsion, disgust, and all that. He just redefined what that was. And since it's me, the chosen prophet, that's a good thing that you felt. And then he had them write down. I mean, like, I come from an age where when I got punished in school, can you imagine I got punished for talking too much?
No.
They had me write, my fifth grade teacher had me write silly sentences, or I will not talk so much in class. I will not talk so. And so he was doing exactly the same thing. I love the living F out of Samuel. I love the living. So he had them write, and they were self indoctrinating themselves because of the exercise he's giving them. He's redefining their emotions, telling them what they are. I mean, that's exactly what's going on.
And they all have a lack of loving critics. No one was there to say,
You're taught to fear loving critics because they're full of Satan. They're devils.
Yeah. Anyone who's a loving critic is a devil. Witchcraft.
I want to give a huge shout out to the documentarian on that. Yeah. Christine reached out. We reached out to her yesterday. We'll hopefully get a response. We'd love to have her on. Yeah. This is one of the most, kind of like Siobhan Scott on our show. She's one of the most courageous individuals that really dove deep. She did the most amazing undercover work for 3 years, unguided by FBI or anyone else, on a mission to save these girls. I got my goosebumps and tears going. It was one of the most compelling stories of compassion I've ever seen in my entire life, of what she did selflessly at her own peril to do this. And she was absolutely masterful. I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah, she did. It's quite a story. It's on Netflix right now, by the way, just dropped earlier this week. And going to binge something this weekend or whenever you're watching.
It's worth in a safe place.
Worth checking out. All next week, we'll be doing a five-part series on the FLDS and going into this story in greater depth. Or did we do that this week? Was that this week, Todd? When does that drop? Is that
next
this week?
Next week.
Okay. Yep. Next week, a five-part. If you really also want to hear deep into this, the FLDS and the Bateman. Yeah, it's all there. So press subscribe so you don't miss that next week. All right, that's going to wrap up our programs.
Wow.
Our programming day, our broadcast hour for the day and the week. Your thoughts in the comments section. Love to read them. So please do that. Press subscribe wherever you're getting podcasts so you don't miss any of our conversations and our reporting. We greatly thank you for that. Robin's book, It's Not All About Me. It's available right here. Go get it.
Oh, and also, please leave a review, too, if you read it. Yeah. Thank you very much. I know a lot of people bought it, but I'm also asking for reviews on Amazon. It helps other people see it more. So thank you. Those algorithms love picking it up. Thank you, Tony.
There it is. There it is. Woo! Check it out wherever you get books. Seriously, do. It's great. All right. Until next time, for Todd, for Robin, I'm Tony Bruschi. We will talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
When I first heard the words, you have lung cancer, I was in shock.
This week on a special episode of Health Discovered, we're taking a closer look at a common form of lung cancer that accounts for 85% of all cases.
I'm Janet Freeman Daly. And I've been living with non-small cell lung cancer since 2011.
Non-small cell lung cancer. It's a diagnosis that changes everything. And yet the conversation around it too often stops at the biology and misses what patients are actually living through every single day.
There are some things you used to be able to do that you can't do anymore. It's easy to become depressed when you're dealing with all those losses. So mental health plays a really big role.
So what does it really mean to advocate for yourself when you're living with non-small cell lung cancer? Listen to Health Discovered on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players' $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
When I first heard the words, you have lung cancer, I was in shock.
This week on a special episode of Health Discovered, we're taking a closer look at a common form of lung cancer that accounts for 85% of all cases.
I'm Janet Freeman Daly, and I've been living with non-small cell lung cancer since 2011.
Non-small cell lung cancer. It's a diagnosis that changes everything, and yet the conversation around it too often stops at the biology and misses what patients are actually living through every single day.
There are some things you used to be able to do that you can't do anymore. It's easy to become depressed when you're dealing with all those losses. So mental health plays a really big role.
So what does it really mean to advocate for yourself when you're living with non-small cell lung cancer? Listen to Health Discovered on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
When I first heard the words, you have lung cancer, I was in shock.
This week on a special episode of Health Discovered, we're taking a closer look at a common form of lung cancer that accounts for 85% of all cases.
I'm Janet Freeman Daly, and I've been living with non-small cell lung cancer since 2011.
Non-small cell lung cancer. It's a diagnosis that changes everything, and yet the conversation around it too often stops at the biology and misses what patients are actually living through every single day.
There are some things you used to be able to do that you can't do anymore. It's easy to become depressed when you're dealing with all those losses. So mental health plays a really big role.
So what does it really mean to advocate for yourself when you're living with non-small cell lung cancer? Listen to Health Discovered on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
When I first heard the words, you have lung cancer, I was in shock.
This week on a special episode of Health Discovered, we're taking a closer look at a common form of lung cancer that accounts for 85% of all cases.
I'm Janet Freeman Daly, and I've been living with non-small cell lung cancer since 2011.
Non-small cell lung cancer, it's a diagnosis that changes everything. And yet, the conversation around it too often stops at the biology and misses what patients are actually living through every single day.
There are some things you used to be able to do that you can't do anymore. It's easy to become depressed when you're dealing with all those losses. So mental health plays a really big role.
So what does it really mean to advocate for yourself when you're living with non-small cell lung cancer? Listen to Health Discovered on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
When I first heard the words, you have lung cancer, I was in shock.
This week on a special episode of Health Discovered, we're taking a closer look at a common form of lung cancer that accounts for 85% of all cases.
I'm Janet Freeman Daly, and I've been living with non-small cell lung cancer since 2011.
Non-small cell lung cancer, it's a diagnosis that changes everything, and yet the conversation around it too often stops at the biology and misses what patients are actually living through every single day.
There are some things you used to be able to do that you can't do anymore. It's easy to become depressed when you're dealing with all those losses. So mental health plays a really big role.
So what does it really mean to advocate for yourself when you're living with non-small cell lung cancer? Listen to Health Discovered on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
When I first heard the words, you have lung cancer, I was in shock.
This week on a special episode of Health Discovered, we're taking a closer look at a common form of lung cancer that accounts for 85% of all cases.
I'm Janet Freeman Daly, and I've been living with non-small cell lung cancer since 2011.
Non-small cell lung cancer, it's a diagnosis that changes everything. And yet, the conversation around it too often stops at the biology and misses what patients are actually living through every single day.
There are some things you used to be able to do that you can't do anymore. It's easy to become depressed when you're dealing with all those losses. So mental health plays a really big role.
So what does it really mean to advocate for yourself when you're living with non-small cell lung cancer? Listen to Health Discovered on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, baby? It's Bretsky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players' $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Here's the truth. You could literally be adored by everyone and then come home and still get completely ignored by your own cat. It's classic cat behavior. But new Shiba Premium Puree is a lickable treat that changes all that. They're protein-rich, made with bone broth, and have the smooth, creamy texture cats go crazy for, especially when it's hand-fed. Yeah, it's more than a treat. It's a fast pass to favorite human status. So feed your cat Shiba and go from totally ignored to truly adored in just 12 days, guaranteed, or your money back. Learn more at Shiba.com.